And this is very important. You cannot get there. There is no state to be achieved. And this is almost, it seems to destroy many teachings, but essentially they all express the same thing. But a very powerful pointer to the truth is to realize that enlightenment or liberation is not a state to be achieved. It is a complete acceptance of what is. That is the state of the master, completely aligned with is, not expecting that this form should reach some kind of perfection. Perfection does not lie in form. Every form is limited through its form. So not a future state, but a simply a state of deep and complete yes to what is, including all the imperfections of the world of form, including your own form. Yes. Then you become who you already are, which is the spaciousness beyond form, which is the formless one life, one intelligence. You are that space. The yes is the portal, the yes is the doorway into the space that you are, the formless life that you are, beyond form. And so, isn't this wonderful news that you don't need to achieve a state, because that creates a new mind object and a new future, that the awakening is now, and it lies in the yes to is, not expecting a perfection of form, this form or that form, or that life should suddenly, nothing should ever change again. Everything is so neatly arranged in my story, every piece of furniture is in its place, and everything is secure, and that's great. That form is not like that. And so this is an incredible thing. Ultimately, even if you use techniques, and that's fine, there's nothing wrong with techniques, the essence of every technique is to take you into the state of now and into the state of surrender to what is. And it is possible to enter that state now without the need for more time. And you can be awake this moment when you're in a state of yes to it, and you can be asleep again the next moment, which is just the same moment, but you're asleep when the no returns and you close and you're fighting what is again. Awake, asleep. Stories, noise in the head, completely trapped in mental noise. Not here, somewhere else. Dream world. Trying to work something out. My life, it's called my life. And you can see the absence as opposed to presence, when you look sometimes in people's eyes, and especially those people who are now moving in and out of that state of presence, and then when they move out of the state of presence, there's a veil that descends on their eyes, because the light is no longer shining through their eyes. The light of consciousness becomes veiled through mental noise, and there's an absence. They are not. You can, when you look at them, you can see they're not here. And some people live that act almost continuously. They're never here because they're trying to be in the next moment. And their whole families, millions of families who live like that, millions of children are born into an environment that continually denies and ignores and rejects the present moment, because they're all trying to, come on, let's get on with it. And that's the whole environment in the family. the restlessness. Oh, have you done this? No, not a moment of spacious presence, of acknowledging the being of that person in this spaciousness of now. Oh. And so many illnesses have arisen in youngsters that haven't, because it's not only that the new consciousness that is arising, simultaneously the madness of the old consciousness increases too. So truly one could say in these times things are both getting worse and better, because the madness of the old consciousness is still operating and it's becoming more and more mad. If you think the 20th century was mad, wait. That mind set can only get more mad. The new is arising at the same time. But the madness is there. In many youngsters, diseases have arisen that didn't even know before. Hyperactivity, can't sit still anymore, because they live in an environment in which there is no spaciousness, no presence. All there is mental noise and continuously reaching out to the next moment and the future. So many youngsters cannot sit still anymore. They have to move. Where's the next thing, the next stimulus? No TV screen for half an hour and they go mad. And that's attention deficit disorder, all these kinds of things that didn't even exist 30 years ago. Can't focus on one thing for more than a moment. All expressions of that madness in youngsters, and a lot of anger also and violence, all expressions, because that's the environment in which they live, is mad. And mad is still normal up to now, because everybody is there, it's normal. I always say normal means mad. So we are moving beyond normal. Please don't be normal anymore. That's the worst thing, normal. This is the only moment there is. Now, it happens to manifest as people in a room and a voice speaking, but it is the only moment. So you might as well be friendly with it, since it's the only one. And when you move away from here, the same moment appears in a different form. It's still the underlying field of now, and then suddenly you're on the road, and it's the same. You sense underneath what happens a spaciousness or a peace, and that's there through the yes to is. At first you can't get hold of it and say, what is this? You can't understand it. It is the famous peace that passes all understanding. It's there. It's good enough that it's there. So So there's that underlying sense of presence becomes where this is where you dwell. This is essentially who you are. But let's just use dualistic language and say you dwell in that underlying sense of presence, still spacious presence. Things happen. They come and go. Through allowing what happens, you become who you already are, the space in which it happens. It's so simple. Through allowing what happens, more and more you realize who you are, no longer as a mind object. This is the end of having a relationship with yourself. You've gone through that stage. Humans have gone through that stage. 500,000 years or whatever, of having relationships with themselves. And then you move back into being yourself, being that, just like the flower, but with added great steps and knowingness. Oh, I don't need to interpret continuously. What a relief. I can allow this moment to be without needing to have some personal relationship with whatever happens and think it needs to. How does it fit into my story? This moment doesn't fit into my story. It shouldn't be happening. I can't make it fit into the story of who I am. What a dreadful way to live. And then somehow trying to make it fit, interpret it in terms of me and my story that goes. And so you're no longer the little personal me, and there's nothing else to me than me. You are the one consciousness expressing itself through this form. And when you look at something, a flower, a tree, and you simply allow it to be, you will see what you don't need to label it, call it this or that, interpret it. It is. Consciousness itself is looking through your eyes when you look in that way at the world. Consciousness itself perceives the world of form. Wow. And you see enormous depth and beauty when you don't put labels on things. What an absurd thing to say flower and then think you know what it is. Sounds have come out of your mouth and then you think, okay, now I know what it is. You don't know anything when sounds, it's just sounds that you make that represent, that are an abstraction of that reality, a mental abstraction of that reality. So the mystery, you're not trying to solve the mystery on the mind level, you allow that to be, and you see there's a depth and beingness in this beautiful form that we call flower that goes beyond the form that we see. So when you can be with something natural, go into nature, with a tree, with a flower, or flowing water, any, be with it, watch, look it, in the state of attentive openness, presence, stillness, in which it appears that you don't know anything more about it, but that's only from the point of view of the mind. That's why from the word emptiness that is used in Buddhism is looking at it from the point of view of the mind. And from the point of view of the mind, it looks like a state of great emptiness, and that sounds a bit fearful. Oh, I don't want to become empty. But it is also a complete and utter fullness of being. But not as the mind knows it. To the mind, you don't know anything anymore when you become still and present. And yet there's a deep knowing there. You know this flower as you've never known it before. A depth of relatedness, a depth of communion when you know it in that way. And ultimately, you know it in that state, you know it as yourself. You know this flower as yourself, which means you know its essence is one with your essence. It is the one expressing itself in form, billions of forms, but it is the one. And that which looking is looking through your eyes is the one looking at its own beauty in form and knowing that it is good. So you can, instead of looking at as a person with a personal relationship, you look at the world as consciousness. So this is how this is the unconditioned state of consciousness emerging through you, where once there was a little me trying to make it, that gives way now to a much vaster consciousness, the unconditioned. And then even in the realm of the little me and its story, things actually fall into place beautifully when you no longer need it for your identity. Wonderful. Just, how is it possible that humans haven't known this? How is it possible that they don't talk about it on TV every evening? That newspapers don't write about it? The one thing that matters to most of humanity even now is still not known. But miracles are happening. It is amazing that it is emerging now, here and there, in the most unexpected places, you suddenly see it emerge. For years I have been saying to people, our gathering tonight is not going to be on television, on the news tonight, because it's not newsworthy. I've been saying this for years and believed it to be true, and it was true until a few weeks ago when Canadian television came to a talk that I gave in Canada. And it was on the national news. This is unbelievable. It's a miracle. So something is happening in you primarily. It's the only place where it can happen. In and through you. Not in the future, though. Only now. So it is the state of surrender to now, surrender to life. The mantra for tonight, it is. You can use it at any time. You can use it especially when something arises and there's a reactivity. There is a no that arises. No! Trying to get to the next moment. Not this one. Where's the next one? When the no arises, you recognize the no. There goes another no. What do you do then? Say yes to it. How can you say yes to a no? Yes, you can. Because what you observe is a mind pattern arising. Perhaps also, together goes with it, a contraction of the physical, emotional contraction. And suddenly you see that, and says, there's another no. All right, it is as it is, there's another no. You've taken the yes into the no, and the yes dissolves the no. You don't have to do anything. But you cannot deny the no when you notice a no and then have a say, I shouldn't be saying, I'm stuck in it again, you see, I can't do it. That would mean you're in reactivity again. So whatever arises, internally or externally, there's the yes. Yes. The best practice is people. The greatest challenge is other people. To bring the yes, because they tend to come into the now and make it difficult. If it weren't for people, the now would be okay. And that's why I recommend go into nature and be there completely. Be there in that state of non-labeling, of attentive openness, and look through presence, through stillness at nature, and then move into the world of other people, and then that becomes a deeper practice. It'll have to be. Greater presence, alertness, a bigger yes in the face of difficult people. And eventually you can visit your parents. When you can be there in the state of yes, then you're there. Yeah. In the meantime, if you go to your parents, you have many opportunities of observing the no. Well, that's good enough. You observe the no and say, okay, there it is. Here goes another no. And with that also comes a strange thing called gratefulness. Gratefulness is an appreciation of what is at this moment. And in that honoring of this moment, an essential aspect of that honoring is the gratefulness for what is. And you will be amazed that a point comes when you can also even be grateful for something that before you would have disliked. You're grateful for the isness of this moment. And then you're so aligned with what is, that whatever is good, even if it appears as good, bad on the surface, because all that good, bad is that bad means a form is beginning to dissolve, death in one way or another, and that's called bad. And good means something new is born, and oh, great, for a little while. You move beyond the polarities of good and bad, and there is a deeper, eternal goodness that is beyond the polarities of good and bad that are in the world of form. And there's a gratefulness then. Yes, there's a gratefulness for what is. There's gratefulness for what arises, but before you wouldn't have even seen the beauty that is in this moment. Even if you look at the floor or the pattern, the texture, you can pick up anything, a glass, a bottle, and look it. And there's a gratefulness when there's a complete honoring of what is, but there's a deeper gratefulness for the beingness that underlies it all. The one life that underlies all forms of life. The one life that you are, the essence of who you are. And there's, ah, oh, and that gratefulness is love, and that gratefulness is joy. They're really all one. Thank you.